So many of you will know that I enjoy listening to worship music by City of Light. City of Light is the music mission from St. Paul's Castle Hill Church in Sydney, Australia. The words of one of their songs has been challenging me in relation to whether I make knowing God a priority in my life. Listen to the words of the first two verses in the chorus. It reads, "I've tried in vain a thousand ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise, but what I need, your word has said, is ever only Jesus. You died, you live, you reign, you plead. There's love in all your words and deeds. This weary heart finds all it needs in ever only Jesus." And then the chorus is this: "I want to know you, Jesus, my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasures and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you, then know you more." Out of the many thoughts that come into my mind as I listen to the words of this song, there are two particular thoughts that are particularly challenging to me. And they are found in the last line of the chorus: "Jesus, to know you, then know you more." Do I want to know Jesus? Well, as a Christian, the answer is obviously, of course I do. So what is the response to the second part then of the line that says, "then know you more"? Is that something I want or need? And if so, what does that look like in my life? As I think about knowing Jesus, my mind turns to the verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3. I memorized this verse many years ago from the New International Version. The NIV translation reads, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." If you listen to John MacArthur's sermons or read his study Bible, you will see that the Greek words that Paul uses here in Philippians chapter 3 do not describe an intellectual knowledge. John MacArthur teaches that the Greek words for knowing God in this verse mean it is to know experimentally or to know experientially, or to know personally, or to know by personal involvement with. So here's the question: what form does my knowing God take? What form does your knowing God take? Is it just intellectual, or is it experimental, experiential, a personal involvement with God? There are some people that have an intellectual knowledge of God. They believe the existence of God, but they do not know him as described in Philippians chapter 3. They do not have a personal relationship with God. Earlier in the chapter, Paul has been describing the qualities of his life. He starts with the status of his birth. His parents observed the law as he was circumcised when he was 8 days old. He was a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, born into the great tribe of Benjamin. He had studied incredibly hard to become one of only a few of the most highly qualified Pharisees. He was a PhD Pharisee living in complete obedience to the letter of the Jewish law. He was so obsessed with observing the Jewish law that he persecuted Christians. He believed Christians were disobeying the Jewish law by following the ways taught by Jesus. This now dead rebel leader who believed blasphemed by claiming to be God in the flesh. From his upbringing and study of the Old Testament, Paul had an intellectual knowledge of God. The problem was Paul did not truly know God. Paul did not have a personal relationship with God. It was based on what he could do for God, not on what God could do for him. And so that brings me to the first challenge that I want to give you this morning, is what form does your knowledge of God take? Is it intellectual only? Or does it come from personal experience, knowing God in an intimate way? After his encounter with God on the road to Damascus, Paul had a total change of heart. All the value that he saw in his earlier life that he believed gave him status in the eyes of both God and man became worthless to him as he compared that to truly knowing Christ. Paul used very strong language to describe the difference between his old life of knowing God intellectually and his new life of personal experience with God. Paul referred to his old life as garbage compared to the value of knowing Christ. These are Paul's words from Philippians chapter 3 as he describes the change in his life. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. In verse 9, Paul says that he wants to become one with Christ. This is much more than just having an intellectual knowledge of God. This is the experimental, experiential, personal knowledge of Christ that John MacArthur referred to. Paul goes on to say in verse 10 that he wants to experience the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. Also that he wanted to suffer with him, sharing in his death. What could be more powerful in your life than to experience the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead? The power that raised Jesus from the dead displayed his power over both the physical and the spiritual worlds. Paul believed that power was available to him, and if available to him, available to every Christian. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, Paul says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul says in verse 19 that the incredible greatness of God's power is for us who believe. For Paul, it was no longer enough to simply have an intellectual knowledge of God. No. After his Damascus Road experience, Paul wanted a personal and powerful relationship with God. So here's my second challenge to you this morning. Are you experiencing the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead in your life? I wonder if we often live weak lives because we don't come to God and ask to have the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. I think many times we become overwhelmed by physical or spiritual battles that we could fight and win if only we would ask God for his mighty power to help us. The next part of the verse is interesting. The New Living Translation translates Paul as saying, I want to suffer with him. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I'm not keen to put my hand up when there is the probability of suffering on offer. And at first glance, That is what this phrase appears to be saying. However, other translations may help us understand what Paul is saying here. Some translations, including the NIV, refer to knowing the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. My understanding of this phrase is that if and when we are going through suffering, we can find comfort through fellowship with Christ in his suffering. We read in the Bible of the extreme suffering that Jesus went through. Thinking on the extent of the sufferings of Jesus, talking to him about what we're going through, we can find some comfort because we know he knows and understands what we're going through. This is not suggesting that our suffering comes anywhere close to what Jesus went through, but rather that there is comfort in knowing that he understands. There are many verses that teach us about Jesus understanding the trials and sufferings that we go through because he suffered in his humanity just as we do. One of those verses is found in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, but we'll read verses 16 to 18 to get the context. Verse 16, "We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people." Since he himself, and this is the key verse for us, verse 18, "Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested." Verse 17 says that it was necessary for Jesus to be made in every respect like us. Jesus felt all the frailties of being human and is therefore able to not only sympathize with us, but more importantly, to help us when we struggle. When we go through difficult times. And just a note here on the first verse, verse 16, where it refers to the descendants of Abraham, it is talking about people of faith. They are the descendants of Abraham. That includes Christians today who have come to a saving faith in God through the forgiveness made available through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that brings me to my third challenge for you today. When going through times of suffering and testing, do you rely on connecting with or fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul tells us that it's possible for us to connect with God in an amazing way to find help in our times of struggle. We can pray, talking to God knowing that he's always listening. We can ask for his strength, knowing he is the source of all strength. We can meditate on his suffering, and in doing so, find some perspective and comfort. It is powerful, it is encouraging, it is uplifting, and gives us strength in the face of difficult times. This is the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. The writer of the old song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," knew what connecting with Jesus meant during difficult times. And I just want to read that old hymn to you. We've enjoyed some other hymns today, but here's another old hymn. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. I want you to listen to that last line again. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Old-fashioned words, aren't they? But they really tell us about the care that God will give to us. There is a lot more that we could learn from the remainder of verse 10 and 11 in Philippians chapter 3, but I want to quickly look at the bridge of the song that we're going to listen to. And this is what it says. Like wave after wave on the ocean, like all of the sand on the shore, your beauty and glory are endless. O Jesus, I must know you more. Have you ever sat on a beach or on a lake and been mesmerized by the waves? It doesn't matter if it's a big sea, crashing waves, or a very calm sea with tiny waves. The waves just continue to roll up the beach, one after another after another. Have you ever sat on a beach of dry sand and dug your hands into the sand and let the grains of sand just flow out through your fingers? Or dug your feet into the sand and lifted them out to see the sand roll off your feet? So many grains of sand on the beach. To the writers of this song, the never-ending waves and the endless grains of sand gave them a beautiful picture of the endless beauty and glory of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ was beaten to the point that people couldn't recognize him and crucified on a cross between two thieves. But now he's seated in beauty and glory in heaven, the King of the heavens. It's not enough for the writers of the song to know Jesus. No, they must know him more. So much so that they're prepared to give up all their treasures and all their rewards to know Jesus more. Like Paul said, there is nothing that comes close to knowing Jesus. In the chorus, the writers say, I want to know you, Jesus my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasures and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you, then know you more. What would you be prepared to give up? I mean, we sung those two old hymns before I came up, I Surrender All. I find that a little bit hard to sing because I'm not actually that good at surrendering everything. I don't know about you, but we've got fleshly personalities that want to do our thing, that want to hang on to the things we have. Can we truly say, I surrender all? And the second one, and I can't quite remember the phrase and the one after that, but it's talking too about giving up everything to follow God. Are you prepared to know that? Do you really want to know God more? I'm going to get Brad to play the song by City of Light. And I want you to imagine that you are sitting at the beach, seeing those waves come in one after the other, seeing that sand running through your fingers. And I want you to ask yourself these questions. So as you listen to the song, just have these questions in your mind. Do you only know God intellectually and don't have a personal relationship with him? You can reach out and choose to know God today. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So think about that as you listen to the song. Secondly, think about this. Do you know God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? But that's really as far as it goes. It's just a free ticket out of hell, maybe, for you. The third thing you might want to think about as you listen to the song. Do you know God more or want to know God more? Experience the mighty power of God in your life. Finding comfort and solace in the sufferings of Jesus when you face difficult times and suffering. Wherever you are in your journey of knowing God, God wants you to know him more. How much more do you want to know him? Thanks, Brad. We'll listen to the song. So I guess the challenge is for you today really is, what's your knowledge of God and what do you want to know of God? Do you want to know more of him? Do you want to have an intellectual knowledge or a real personal, powerful knowledge of who God is? Let's just pray. Father God, thank you that you are the King of the heavens and that you are King of our soul. You have the one who created us. You're the one who made us. We're your people. And we can either choose to follow you or walk away from you. God, I pray that this morning you will cause us to want to know you and to know you more, to experience all the blessings and the power and the compassion and love that you have for us. Help us to want to desire you more today. Thank you for your love for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.